So I'm going to talk about subtrochanteric femur fractures. And I think the biggest thing about these are you just got to get ready for a hard case. I mean, the problem with these are essentially reduction, and you need to be prepared for that. So these occur essentially in a bimodal type distribution. So you have your younger high energy trauma patients, and then you have the elderly, right? That said, when it comes down to it, you're going to have to fix both of them, and they're always going to be challenging. I mean, the younger, healthier, maybe heavier, muscular patients can be harder just because of the struggle, you know, with dealing with the soft tissues and fighting everything, whereas your skinny old lady might be less of a struggle. But nevertheless, they tend to be hard fractures, right? The thing to keep in mind is they do not necessarily reduce with traction, right? So you have to keep in mind all those sort of deforming forces on the proximal fragment, you know, with your abduction, external rotation, apex anterior angulation. So, you know, those are all the deforming forces that you have to counteract. You need to be prepared intraoperatively for a number of things that you generally aren't used to doing when you're taking care of, you know, inner chokes or pinning a femoral neck or something. So, you know, the first thing is, you know, these patients come in, it's like a shaft fracture. They can bleed. It's not an intracapsular fracture. So you want to make sure you trend their hemoglobin. It's arguable whether or not you need to put them in skeletal traction. I think sometimes it can be helpful. It's not always necessary. It depends on the patient. But generally speaking, you want to get to these within 24 hours if you can. So the operative considerations are, you know, whether you're going to nail it, plate it, whether you're going to go supine, lateral. I would even argue that in certain cases, maybe really low subtrochanteric femur fracture, retrograde nail is not completely out of the question. But most of the time, you're talking about antegrade nailing and you're talking about plating. So, you know, pluses and minuses. So plating obviously is a little bit less familiar, you know, at least, you know, proximal femoral locked plates. The DCS is an older device. You guys don't really see much. It's very similar to DHS. So it used to be a familiar device. Now plating has become a little bit unfamiliar because a lot of people aren't used to using that, you know, locked plate or blade plate, which is kind of going out of style. So that's one thing. The other thing is it's a very big, heavy, large device. It can cause a lot of irritation at the iliotibial band. So you have to be aware of that. The other thing is with plating is that you have to be a little bit more, it's a little bit less forgiving, right? You have to be technically more spot on. It's very important to get compression. These are very heavy, rigid plates. You'll get a non-union if you don't compress when possible. And sometimes you'll get away without it. But generally speaking, you know, if you can, you try to compress these. You try to use a tensioning device. And you're getting into, like, you know, hardcore AO stuff a lot of people aren't used to doing all the time. It's a lot of dissection also. That said, sometimes if you need to open it, if you need to get in there and you're doing all this work, you're right there. Why not just plate it? And then you don't have to worry about all this sort of nonsense and blocking screws and all these reduction stuff I'm going to talk about when you're nailing. So what about nailing? So nailing, you know, you have piriformis start, troche start. You know, from a technical standpoint, it actually can be easier to maintain the reduction with a piriformis start, right? You come down in a straight line as opposed to coming in at an angle. And if you do use a trochanteric nail, you always go on the medial side of the greater troche, right? You don't want to go on the tippy top or up over the lateral side. You got to be somewhere a little bit more medial. I mean, if you want to go all the way medial, then you're basically in a piriformis start. So if you're doing a nailing, that's the first thing. The start point is so critical. And the reduction. So I mentioned it before. The closed reduction, like just put the patient on the fracture table, pull on it, it's often not going to work. So you have to be prepared to open. You have to be prepared to have bone clamps there. You can also use sometimes ball spike pushers, Shands pins. Cobb elevator and push on it. I mean, it's probably worth looking in a textbook. Our textbook has some great pictures of this. You have to at least be prepared, have stuff available. Remember the reduction is, you know, the nail is not going to get the reduction for you like a mid-shaft femur. You kind of have to get it, hold it, and hope that it stays there. And if occasionally you have to use a cable to maintain a good reduction, then use a cable. It hasn't really been shown to be a huge problem, although some, you know, AO surgeons and traumatologists say you should never do that. There's some evidence showing it's fine, and I think anybody would take that over a varus reduction. The other thing is positioning, right? So there's lateral and supine positioning. So for starting points, lateral positioning is easier, especially for the heavier patient. Imaging is trickier. That's just no way around it. It can be done. It's just a little trickier. The rotation is also harder to nail down when you're in a lateral position. Whereas when you're supine, you can kind of level the pelvis, straighten the feet out, and you should be fine, right? But when you're lateral, the patient's rolling, you're not really sure, you don't know which way the foot's pointing, so it's harder to get rotation. Other pluses and minuses: the dissection is easier. It's if you know you're going to open, if you know you're going to, you know, have a big dissection, it's a lot easier when you're lateral. The tissues fall away from you, whereas when you're supine, you're kind of just constantly fighting gravity. Everything is falling down, and the whole case is spent just like lifting everything up in the air. Very difficult. So you'll have to take both of those things into consideration. Obviously, your skill set, what kind of help you have, right? So fracture table, you have more help. But remember, the traction often doesn't get the reduction, so you still need some hands in there. Lateral position, leg is free unless you're using lateral on a traction table, which is possible. Certain traction tables, ours will do it, but something even less people are familiar with. So I think these are the main issues you need to know about with subtroch fractures. That's where most people get into trouble. They underestimate what they're up against. They are not prepared necessarily or aware of the reduction techniques that are necessary, and end up with an ugly x-ray. And a little bit of varus can go a really long way. Patients who have a little bit of that varus in the proximal femur can sometimes get a Trendelenburg gait that they can't recover from. And again, it's bimodal. The older patients may not have a huge problem or may not be noticeable, but a younger patient can be a little disabled from that. So you should be aware of how to, avoid that problem. Okay, that's it for this recording. Thanks.